Hello and welcome to Pumped, the inside podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Wogon, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, or from road racing to triathlon. And today I'm talking to Simon Andresen. The young Danish rider is one of the biggest talents in cross country and has won the junior world champion a couple of years ago. This year he changed teams and is now racing for the Cannondale team. On the side of Henrik Avancini and Manuel Fumic, he just came back from the first World Cup of the season. We talked about his winter training in Denmark and why coffee is so important for him. Hey, Simon, thank you so much for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me in the podcast. I'm back home in Copenhagen. Just got back from a long trip. First long trip of the season with the build up to the World Cups and the first two World Cups, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've been on the first or competed in the first two World Cups in Alpstadt now. How was it for you to... Yeah, standing on the start line after such a long winter and such a long time.
Yeah, I mean it was great to be back on the World Cup scene. We did quite a few early season races, so it's not like we lacked racing, but it's for sure it's different to be on the World Cup scene, and it just was great to see all the familiar faces again and feel the excitement of a World Cup. You can't really compare it to any other race.
Yeah, and first World Cup is always a little bit different. Do you feel the pressure going to the first races, or is the pressure more building up in the season?
Oh, for sure, the first World Cup is always where the pressure is probably the highest, because you don't really know where you stand and you don't really know where everyone else stands, and everyone has got something to prove, and you know it's quite a nervous first one to go into to the World Cup always, but it's also exciting.
Yeah, it must be super exciting to see where everyone is after this winter. I mean, especially this winter was super different than all the other winters because most of the people couldn't travel so much for training. Where did you spend your winter?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, like traveling was not the easiest. I experienced that a few times. I mean, we were supposed to have a few training camps done in South Africa, and we had our first one in December, and we needed actually to leave before time because like they made new restrictions that if we didn't leave immediately, we couldn't get home, and that also cancelled our plans for the next camp in January in South Africa, and also our February camp got cancelled, and then Cape Epic was cancelled. So I mean, there was a lot of changes all winter long. You know, like 1 week you thought you're going to this place, and then the next week the plan changed, but then the plan changed again. So it was definitely an interesting winter.
Yeah. Was it frustrating for you to not really know how to train and what coming up next week?
In a way, yeah, it's frustrating because you kind of like as an athlete and as a mountain biker, you plan your season and you plan your goals and where you want to be fast and where you want to race. And then when it constantly like gets cancelled or postponed, or you know, you can't really count on the timings, and it's hard to get it right if it's constantly changing. So for sure it's frustrating, but in on the other hand, you know, it's the same for everyone. So yeah, you kind of just need to deal with it and adapt.
Yeah. You're from Denmark, which is probably winter time is not the best weather for long rides or for long cross country sessions. How did you prepare for this season?
I mean, as you say, Denmark is probably not the best place to prepare in winter. I've been to better places, and I spent a fair amount in Spain. And I have a place in Girona, which is really, really good for training, and the weather is normally quite a lot better than it is in Denmark. So it's a place that I really enjoy training in, and just living there, it's pretty cool. So I spent a lot of time there preparing for the season before we had our first races in the spring.
Okay. And Girona must be one of the go-to places for training. I mean, there are so many different athletes. But are you training there mostly alone, or are you teaming up with other athletes who are living there?
I mean, yeah, it's super popular. I mean, there's so many cyclists living there. I mean, mostly road cyclists, but I think it's getting more and more popular for mountain biking as well. And you see more people choosing to go there for training camps on the mountain bikes as well. So it's becoming more popular than it has been. And there's a reason to that. I mean, the riding there is just great, and the trails and the weather again is amazing.
So Jan Frodeno lived there. I think Loic Bruni or Loic Bruni's girlfriend moved there. The Kenyan road cycling team is based there. Why is it so good in Girona? Why everyone is moving there?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the infrastructure there is pretty good. You know, you have the mountains right behind you. You have really good roads. You're close to the airport in Barcelona. You have great areas to hang out. It's a really, you know, cozy town. It's got lots of nice coffee shops and bike shops, and it's just nice for living as well as it is for training. So I think a lot of people get a good balance there.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds really like a perfect place for the winter, maybe a way better than Copenhagen. But in the summer, Copenhagen is definitely one of my favorite places, because it's pretty much the best food and gourmet town in the world, with so many different restaurants and all that stuff. Is that also part of your life to enjoy food and all that stuff?
For sure. I mean, yeah, it's hard to beat here in summer. It's, as you say, it's one of the best places, and it's just, yeah, it's a complete different city when it's summer than in winter. You know, like, also from the people, you see, like, there's so much more life going on, and there's so much nicer, and, you know, all the restaurants and bars, and like, it just brings more life to the city when it's summer. Then you can't really compare it.
You're a part owner of Cranks and Coffee. What is it?
Yeah, I mean, Cranks and Coffee is a cycling cafe with a workshop that builds, like, mostly like repairs and builds bikes as well, but also like a cycling community which is doing group rides and cycling events, and just a place for people to hang out and share their passion for cycling. I think that's what it stands for and what it is most.
Great. Can you explain me what is it with coffee? I mean, everyone in the bike industry is so addicted to coffee, and Jan Frodeno makes his own coffee, and a lot of, everyone you visit has the big coffee machine and really enjoys coffee, and you have a place which called Cranks and Coffee. What is it with the coffee and the bike industry?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I don't think I can give you the right answer or the answer for that, but I mean, in my case, it's simply, you know, I think it's more than just it's not just having a nice drink. It's like, it's also like, it's a ritual. It's a, you know, for me, it most of the time it means, you know, I have this and then I go training, or you know, it's a thing in the morning where I kind of, you know, you have it and then, you know, you feel more ready to go in a way. Maybe mm-hmm. it's more mental, but it's a ritual, and also it's a thing, you know, you can do with friends and with family and whatever, you know, like you sit down, you just have a coffee and you know, it brings conversation, it brings just a purpose of going somewhere or whatever, I think. And that's with cycling as well, you know, you go for a ride and then you stop and have a coffee. It's not so much the coffee, but I think it's the whole thing, the mm-hmm. stop and the just having that purpose of doing it. I think that's just as big a thing as the actual coffee.
Yeah. Okay. And I said,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So that means coffee is definitely way more for you than just a good name for your business. So it's also part of your life to enjoy the coffee.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's big part of my life. Like it's a social thing. It's a thing you do on your own when you're at home. Also, you know, it's good energy, a good lift to the day.
Yeah, cool. This year you changed to the Cannondale team, and this is already an existing team, and you switched to that team. Have you been welcomed from the other racers?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's been a very big change for me to go to Cannondale, and it's been a team that I always looked up to in a way, and could see myself riding for, and it's just been confirming all my expectations. You know, it's such a great team and a really, really good vibe in the team, and I've been taken really well care of and been, you know, been introduced to the, like, feel part of the family in the team really, really quickly, and it's so nice to share it with the other teammates. I mean, they're more experienced than I am, and mm-hmm. and I've been already learning a lot from them, which is, yeah, I mean, it's so valuable.
I mean, you're in the team with Henrik Avancini and Manuel Fumic, who are both, yeah, they're two athletes rather on their end of their career, and you're super young and have your career ahead of you. Could you benefit, or can you benefit from their experience?
I mean, definitely. I mean, they both have so much more experience than I have, and they've been in the game of mountain biking way longer than I have, and they've probably made a lot of mistakes that mm-hmm. that maybe I can be saved of making, and maybe learn from their experiences, you know, and also just, you know, sharing training and sharing experiences and yeah, I mean, all kinds of race experiences is so valuable, and it's something that I'm taking in and learning so much from already.
Yeah. But you're from a completely different generation, and you have a newer background, and your junior days are not long ago. So is there anything what they can learn from you, because they are so in the game for such a long time? But sometimes it's good to have a little bit more fresh wind in the team, as something where you can support them.
I think for sure they can learn something from me as well. I mean, I think it's a really give and take, you know, like we have our qualities and like we all bring something to the table. And I think that I'm coming into the team with for sure, like, some ways of doing things that they can also learn from and see positives in. And I'm the same, you know, I come in and I see, and I get so much knowledge from, like, how they're doing stuff. So I really think it's a win for both of us.
Yeah. What do you think is your biggest talent in mountain biking?
That's a good question. I mean, I think For sure, I've always enjoyed to ride my bike. I always enjoyed to have fun, and I think my biggest talent probably lies in my ability to have fun on the bike and enjoy the riding and enjoy the training. Even, you know, I always have fun when I'm riding, which is a key piece to where I'm at.
Yeah, I think this is, it's super important to have fun, because I think if you are long in the game and you know that training is not always fun, especially when the weather is bad or you're not feeling good, it's so important to not lose your happiness and the fun to ride mountain bike. So I think that is a really, really cool thing, and probably something where you can motivate the other twos. So
that's definitely, and I feel that that's something that I'm bringing into the team as well. I mean, not saying that the other guys don't have fun, but I think, you know, it's something that I really value high on a thing. It's like to keep having fun on the bikes and play.
Yeah.
Play on the mountain. It's for sure, racing is hard and it's tough, and you know, but you can never forget to have fun on the bike. I think it's the reason why most of us started in the first place, was because we were having fun riding our bikes, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's cool. So the Cannondale team, it's incredible professional. What is the biggest change for you coming to this team?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, the team is really, really professional in the way it works. And I think the biggest change for me is probably like that everything is like really structured in a way, you know, like your everyday, like when we are on races or on training camps, it's super structured. So it's you have a plan for everything. Everyone knows exactly what they're doing and what needs to be done, and it kind of, you know, you need to do your job, but you also can relax because you know there's a plan that looks after you and that really helps you to perform and makes everyone do their very best. So that's a big step up for me.
I really like the idea that before a race, everyone from the team comes together and you have dinner together, and you have a cook doing some great meals, and it's not these, it's just pasta. When you're coming to your team, it's high-end food. It's really cool to see that everyone is like a really big family, as you already said. This is amazing. And one other thing is that you're now working with a performance coach. Does that influence your training?
It's definitely been a big change to me, like in the way that we're working on that, and it's a lot of new ways, like that I'm adapting to and that I'm learning to work in this way. And I mean, I'm definitely learning so many new things in improving in areas where I've never worked before. So it's really great additions to me. Yeah.
Okay. A happy rider is a fast rider. That's what everyone says. And it's super important to be as recovered and as happy as possible when you're starting your race. How does a perfect race day look like for you?
I mean, it also depends on what kind of race it is, but if it's a smaller race or if it's a World Cup, but for a World Cup, I would say my perfect race day looks something like getting up in the morning and having a breakfast, and then I normally go for a small spin, like just an easier ride in the morning, like to just feel the legs a little bit, do maybe one or two small openers and just feel the body and wake up a bit, and then I normally come back and do some some stretching and some relaxing, and then, you know, I would have my pre-race meal like normally around 3 hours before the race.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, normally we depart for the venue, go to the venue an hour and a half or something like that before the start, get organized and get the number on the jersey, and yeah, just, you know, prepare yourself mentally for what's coming, and then get a good warm up in, and then, I mean, there's not much more to do there from there on. You know, you get on the start line and you've had the perfect preparation, then you just go.
Yeah, and then it's full gas. Nice. A couple of years ago, when they're starting to do these short track races to qualify your starting place for Sunday, racing got more and more intense. What is the best way for you to regenerate for Sundays or for the main race?
I mean, for sure, now recovery after the short track is even more important, you know, like with the races being so close to each other, and you need to do everything you possibly can to be, I mean, already the next day you need to be ready for course training again. So
yeah,
recovery is so important. And I think for me, what really works is having a protein shake or something like that, and then doing a spin on the rollers or on the road, like 15, 20 minutes, just getting rid of all the lactate in the legs from the race. And that really helps the recovery if you do a small ride afterwards, instead of just finishing in a sprint and then you go to bed. It's then the legs are really tired the next day.
Yeah. Okay. That means you're really trying to paddle a little bit. So when the whole season goes like planned this year, what is the race you're looking forward to the most? What is your favorite racetrack?
I think my favorite racetrack is probably, I mean, it's a shame because we don't race there this year, but it's Mont-Saint-Anne. So it's I think luckily next year we're back again, but this year we won't have it. But and then other than that, I really, really like Novo Mesto, where we've just been. We just came from there a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And another one that I'm really looking forward to is the World Championship course in Italy, in Val di Sole.
Ah, okay. But it's...
That's going to be...
What fits you the most? The really... steep uphills or the technical downhills? What it's your, where you are the best?
Normally, like I find the more technical tracks better for me, like the ones where you really need to be efficient on the bike, and you need, I mean, I really like to have some super hard and short steep climbs, but I less favorite the longer. Long climbs and this really steep long climbs courses. It's, I think I'm more like a powerful rider, which are more favored in the shorter punchy courses.
Yeah, and tracks like Mont-Saint-Anne or like Novo Mesto, they fit a rider who really enjoys to play around with his bike a lot more, right?
Exactly, and I think that's why I really enjoy those tracks.
Great. Simon, thanks a lot for your time. It was really great to chat with you. I wish you all the best for the season, and hopefully we will talk soon again.
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, it was a pleasure to be part of the podcast, and I really enjoyed it, so thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Ciao.